I'm Clyde Lewis. You're about to listen to a sample of today's Ground Zero show.
I'm Clyde Lewis, and this is Ground Zero. The number is to call tonight, 503-225-0860. That's 503-225-0860. Put it in memory or write them down, 503-225-0860. We're winding down 2020. And like I said, everything's been like blur's day to me. Got through Christmas, got through the holiday. We're live. We're one of the shows that really doesn't take too much time off. There's so many things happening that we have to talk. And at the end of every year, real journalists, not the kings of smug or the social warriors or the resistance, what they call themselves, real journalists, not pack journalists, they get together and they try to come up with the 10 or 20 most censored stories of the year. Now, this year, I went to the website. It's called 10, 20 most, censored stories of the year. And I went and I looked over the list. And I thought to myself, how can you limit the list to 20? I mean, in 2020, you can argue that most of the news we tried to get was either censored or overtly fact-checked by the internet. And yes, COVID-19, of course, was the top story of the year. In fact, it was the story that ruined the whole year, but it wasn't all that it ruined. It also ruined the trust that people had with the legacy media. And while the majority of the media outlets took on the role of the mouthpiece of the resistance, they also poisoned the well for getting facts and allowing for diverse opinions to be shared about something that has become part of their lives. And hopefully it won't be for much longer. However, after hearing Joe Biden today, I worry for this country. Not because I am politically against him, nor am I politically for him. I just think that anyone who wants to, flex his muscles as a president-elect telling people that in his first 100 days in office, we're going to be on lockdown with masks on. I mean, that's really taking care of it there, Joe. I mean, Joe thinks that what he's doing is getting people feeling like he's doing something. In reality, he's just doing nothing. I mean, that's the lazy thing to do, right? Oh, just put on your mask, shut up for 100 days. That puts us, what, into March now? And every progressive governor, every progressive mayor is going to delight in that because they can keep cashing their emergency checks for as long as they can extend this thing, not giving any money to the small businesses, not giving any money to people who really need it, keeping that money for themselves. What, those $2,000 checks, they can't make those happen? Tonight, I'm going to blow the lid off of what I feel is the most censored story within the story of the COVID-19 pandemic. And I have to go through a little history in order to illustrate this. And I have to explain myself because I know that every time I open my mouth about vaccines, I get told, well, you're not an expert. And no, I'm not an expert. No, not at all. The only thing, though, about vaccines and about COVID-19 and what makes me a kind of an expert was I was fascinated by diseases and maladies after I had my third cancer surgery. And I just became obsessed with health. My wife and I both were becoming obsessed with health. My wife would send me information about, what I could do to recover. And I was looking into diseases and immunodeficiencies and all these other things that happened, trying to figure out how to be healthy, despite the fact that I'd been through a lot of trauma. I went through 3 surgeries. And, of course, after that, I started to retain water and other things happening in my body. So I gained a lot of weight. And I'm, trying to figure out what I can do to be at my optimum health to continue what I'm doing here on the radio. So it was at that time, or immediately after that time, that I started reading about Johns Hopkins University, the Rockefeller Foundation, a number of groups that were involved with I guess you could call them health issues, but a lot of it had to deal with eugenics. A lot of it had to deal with population planning and all these other things. I started seeing some patterns. And so there was a moment in my life where I was investigating, some of the, what I call the hijinks and Machiavellian moves of government. And I was looking over a document called The Project for the New American Century, which, of course, talks about how, you know, a group of neocons, and some of them are well known, that we've had in government before, Dick Cheney, Scooter Libby, you know, other people, John Bolton. These are the guys that wrote this manifesto that basically said, in order for us to become offensive, they wanted an offense against the Middle East. They had to have some catalyzing event that would take place, like another Pearl Harbor or a new Pearl Harbor. And then a year after that, we had 9/11. And then another thing after that was that it would be great if we could have some sort of a biological attack on the United States, which would put us even more in a situation where we would succumb to a government that's basically all military and surveillance state and all that. And you know, 9/11 did the most, but of course, the world groups and the globalists who wanted a new world order said, well, you know, here's what we can do. And all of a sudden, there's a way to provide for the, you know, the leveling of businesses, the leveling of economies, making the level playing field, which we had been talking about for many years. And people who listen to this program know that we've been consistent in a lot of what we talk about. So it was then that I decided to research diseases and biological terror. And I was looking into the Bhagwan Rajneesh group that basically used biological warfare to try and thwart an election, which they did here in Oregon. If you know anything about the Bhagwan Rajneesh, the Rajneeshis, they actually went to a salad bar and they basically infected a salad bar so people who lived in a certain town couldn't vote. And I thought that was an interesting way of doing it. There were other situations where I studied, you know, biological attacks. I lived near Tooele Army Depot, which was a place where a lot of biologicals were housed. And, of course, that led me to a lecture that I did in California called Clade X, which led me to Disease X, which led me to Event 201, which were all planned gain-of-function exercises where they used diseases as a way to level the playing field, destroy economies, and then a new world group or the World Economic Forum would step in and say, this is what we need to do. We need to basically rely on world government as they will save us, pretty much. Well, so in February of this year, when the new coronavirus began to spread outside China, the Director General of the World Health Organization announced that we're not just fighting an epidemic, we're fighting an infodemic. He called it an infodemic. In response to calls to combat misinformation about COVID-19, the infodemic is what they called it. We have to get rid of misinformation. So a group of companies, including Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube, issued a joint statement in mid-March. They stated that they are jointly combating fraud and misinformation about the virus, elevating authoritative content to their platforms. So a major question then came about, or that basically raised my eyebrow, and I certainly had the question I asked back then, is what about these policies of the communication platforms? I mean, who is defining what information is right? Who defines it? How is the information deemed to be false or harmful? Who's giving that seal of approval? And could we rely on the judgments? There's got to be a reason why there's this no-tolerance policy about discussing COVID-19 and vaccines. In matter of fact, there was a while ago, and Wes Scottko, who's one of my producers, told me this. He said that we had Anthony Patch on the show, and he was talking about what they were planning on putting in the vaccines. And even me discussing what we were going to talk about on the air, we did a pre-video where I talk about what we're doing on the air. Even me discussing the word vaccine itself got us a red flag. And they sent us a notice saying that we will remove your video. We'll basically suspend your account if you continue to talk about vaccines. You are not an expert. You are not one of the experts that, you know, of course, the experts of the science. I'm not one of those. I'm just a talk show host. But see, they don't care about the research I've done. They don't care about the lectures I've done. They don't care about the shows that I've dedicated to health and well-being. And so I was wondering, well, what can I say anymore? I have my radio show. I can say what I want to say on my radio show. And, you know, and I felt that these judgments and these restrictions seemed arbitrary. And I thought, you know, okay, we get it. This is political. everything. And I don't care what Joe Biden says. I don't care what you're hearing from the mainstream media saying, oh, this is not political, this is patriotic. That's BS. Everything winds up becoming a political football, especially when it's a crisis or an emergency such as COVID-19. And there's a reason why Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube are censoring people, are shutting them down for even speaking about this. It's censorship of the second opinion. There is no other story. There's no other discussion about COVID-19. Only what you are told by these experts. And so the COVID-19 issue was handled much like how it has been handled. Just the same way they handled it. The Chinese media, the Chinese state media handled it the same way. The government handled it the same way in China. As the progressives wanted to do here in the United States of America. Now, that's one hidden story that's been censored, is that how was it dealt with in China? Just the same way it was dealt with here in the United States. We are acting just like China did, but it's been extended because China no longer is doing these COVID restrictions. But they have plenty of other restrictions that take away human rights as well and human dignity. I'm Clyde Lewis. You are listening to Ground Zero. The number to call tonight, 503-225-0860. That's 503-225-0860. Back with more Ground Zero. Don't go away.
I'm Clyde Lewis, and you've just listened to a segment of Ground Zero. In order to access the complete archive shows and podcasts, you must sign up on our secured server at aftermath.media. It's only $4.99 a month for the archive shows and podcasts. Or if you want access to the Ground Zero online library, which includes videos, audio clips, ebooks, documents, a social media platform, plus the archive shows and podcasts, it's $9.99 a month. Again, that's aftermath.media. That's aftermath.media. Thanks for supporting Ground Zero.